the Brandon Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Metashare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brandt's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.
Hey, what's going on? My name is Brandt. Coming up this hour, among the other stuff, we'll be talking about the new Apple phone. I'm stunned at their plans for a new phone. We'll talk about that. Plus, I have an organizing system for you for spring cleaning to help organize your life.
I have talked to your wife before. She has never mentioned that you were in charge of spring cleaning.
This is stuff that you don't have to say on the air. You don't have to say it on the air because then I think it might undercut my authority.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to undercut.
Yeah. So, anyway, my new organizing system is coming up. Okay, it's almost springtime. Woohoo! And that means spring cleaning, and that means people come to me asking for Hanson's helpful household hints.
Do they? I didn't know that you had such a hand in your household cleaning.
They don't say it out loud,
okay.
But they say it with their eyes that they want tips. And so I'm here to offer you something I trot out every now and then called the 16-box organizing system.
Oh, I think I remember this. Okay.
Do you?
I didn't think it was 16 boxes, but okay.
Well, it's changed to 16-box organizing system. Very simple. Here's how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, simply set up 16 large cardboard boxes in your living room.
Well,
now, step two, simply label them. Here's what you label them. Things I like but don't need.
Yeah.
Things I need but don't like.
Right.
That's box two.
Two. Yeah.
Things I think I'll like later but not so much now.
Are you about to name 16 boxes?
Number four is things I haven't used in 6 months but probably will not use in the next month. And then things I have used in the next month. Things I will use in the next month but don't want to use again after that.
Sure.
Things people tell me I should enjoy but I really don't. Things that are really underrated if you think about it.
Oh my goodness.
Things I like to just sit and look at because they catch the light just so. That's another box.
Yeah, sure.
Files I need.
Mm-hmm.
Pets I like.
You have put pets
files
in the
I don't need but enjoy. Stickers that are fun. Other stickers.
Yeah.
Knickknacks that someone I love gave me.
Yeah,
knickknacks that someone I don't really love gave me.
Yeah.
I mean, I love them, but only in the general. You have to love everybody's sense. And then the 16th one is other. So that would be like a miscellaneous.
Just in case it doesn't fit any of those very narrow.
Next, simply go through your room and place the objects in the appropriate boxes. And you are organized.
What are we doing with the boxes? The highly specific boxes, I might add. Where do they go?
They're in your living room.
Stay in your living room for spring cleaning.
Where else you get a room for 16 boxes?
That's. Household guru, that's what you're supposed to
that's
answer.
That's my tip for you. Yeah, I don't understand. Apple announced their new phone that's coming out this year. Curious what you think about this.
I saw that. Didn't we just have one?
Ah.
And it's supposed to be really big, right?
Bigger, like the last one was the biggest. And mm-hmm. they're like, well, we're going to get bigger than that.
Right.
What do people want? I don't understand. It used to be... And I'm going to sound like grumpy old man here.
Great.
We were all like, look how small my phone is.
And it got smaller and smaller. We had the Razr, then we had the little Nokia. Yes.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's cool. Look mm-hmm. how small. And now...
We want the Ten Commandments on our ear.
Right.
Okay.
That'll be the next thing. It's made of stone. Oh, thanks. Whatever Apple says. Like, okay. Oh, mine's made of pure stone. Very important if you want to have great social skills to learn them. Learn how to be good in social situations. I have.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I've gotten really great at is on an airplane. It's kind of the best situation for me because people are belted in. They can't get up and walk away.
Trapped. Yeah.
What are they going to do? I've seen it happen. Airline people will make them sit back down next to me.
And so even if they take off running down the alley, they got to come back
right.
to the
seat. Right, so I've learned how to start conversations. It's been a really good laboratory for me. I'll show you how to do it. We'll do a little role play on an airplane. Imagine we're on an airplane.
Sure.
And you're sitting down, clicking in next to me. And I want you guys, just particularly younger guys I'm talking to, look up to me and look for tips. Like, I want you to listen to how I'd handle this. Because what I'll do is I'll introduce a subject that invites follow-up questions.
Mm.
And that opens the door to conversation.
Well,
so
let's see.
You sit down.
you're
walking in. You sit down.
Okay.
You say hi to me.
Oh. Hello, how are you? Where are you on your way to today?
I have more living organisms on my skin right now than there are humans in the universe. Okay, well, Sherry's not participating.
Brad, what, no, because what, there's no way in the world.
Because you could have followed up with any question like, what kind of life forms do you have on your skin right now?
Can you turn it back up?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Can you say it again?
Yeah. I have more living organisms on my skin right now than there are humans in the universe.
What in the world is your problem? Does that help? There's your follow-up question.
See, I just got a follow-up question. So, young guys,
listen and learn.
And then we just take off from there. That's where the friendship starts. Thing about us humans, maybe you've noticed this, we love pep rallies for ourselves. We just do. We do, and we gather people around to root us on. We have any conflict, we seek out people that will affirm us, and we have them cheer on whatever we...
And really, really agitated when they won't participate.
Oh, totally.
This
oh, my goodness.
This is a pep rally for me.
Yeah, you don't understand what my boss said and the way he said it. Here's a big problem is that we do that with our media consumption. We're basically looking for a pep rally for our point of view. And it whips us into a frenzy against other people. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't help us. I mean, I'm talking to Christians here. So if you're somebody who's not a self-described Christian, I understand you may not agree or get it or anything. But for somebody who is following Jesus, loving your enemies is central, not optional. Praying for your enemies, like really hard. It's already hard to do. It's even harder when I'm constantly rallying myself. And my rightness and their wrongness and just how ghastly they are. Like, it's already hard. It doesn't make it easier. You may not be aware of some things because you're young, and so we take it upon ourselves to educate you, but this is something that's now. They're trotting a movie back out that's from the 80s, and they're putting it in the theaters again, as is.
Mm.
Just because a whole new generation needs to see this movie called Labyrinth.
Oh.
Okay.
That was...
You're going to watch it. Okay, I want you to know something. You're going to watch it through the modern lens.
Yes.
If you're young and you don't remember the 80s like we do.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to think, that is one really weird, creepy, odd, unsettling, Muppet-filled movie. Okay?
And what they need to know is, back then...
Back then it was even weirder. And even creepier. And it was worse.
And we didn't want it then, and we don't want it out now.
It's David Bowie, though. It's just, I just want you to know that. Because you might think, well, that's what, back in the 80s, they liked this. Well, a lot of us back then were even like,
no. Whoa.
Sherry said, we could talk about this, so hope you don't mind. Let's say you've got somebody online that is always being... How would you describe this?
Political and confrontational and rigid with their political viewpoint and belligerent.
Right. But it's someone, I've been talking about this with Sherry.
Yeah. If
you have a friend who's like this.
And I really love them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So do I.
Mm-hmm.
But I was recommending that you block that person on social media.
Yeah. And I usually do block people. But I didn't block him because I thought, this is not who I know you to be.
Right, and that's why I'm saying you should block him.
Right. You said blocking is actually loving because...
Because you're covering up his indignity.
Yeah.
This is not his best self.
Mm-hmm.
So, forget Sherry's thing. Like, this applies to everybody.
All of us, yeah.
Like, if this is somebody that's just working you up every time, and you're like, I can't... Man, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, over and over and over, sometimes I think we are to cover each other.
Mm-hmm.
And in a strange way... Perhaps, for his sake, that way you can stay in that place where you're thinking of him in the way you really know him, instead of the way he's presenting himself in this particular undignified, awful way.
Mm.
So I mean, it's just something to think about. If you ever want to contact us, we're on Facebook. Like Vicky contacted me. It's a Brant Hansen page on Facebook. That's our show page, and Vicky said, Brant and Sherry, I want you to know how much you've meant to my grandson, Ethan. Hi, Ethan.
Hi, Ethan.
He's 3, and he listens, and he wants to hear the Brant Hansen show, he says, which is really sweet. And then she says he loves the laughter, He doesn't understand what's being said, but he laughs along.
That's
she
sweet.
Said, I've listened to your show for years, and I really appreciate it, blah, blah, blah. And very thankful. I read all this. Okay. Really appreciated it. But then she says, but now the young generation, meaning the three-year-old scene, is also enjoying you, and it doesn't know why, but it just does.
I would also say perhaps the older generation feels the same
exactly.
way. Yeah.
For those that do like it, they're like, I don't know why. I don't understand what they're saying. But
we're laughing along.
Here I am again. Maybe you heard this. We were talking about this the other day. How if you're nervous about something, one way to overcome anxiety in the moment is to think about how you're serving people.
Oh, yeah.
If you're giving a presentation. Like, well, these people need to know this. I care about these people that are in front. Whatever it is, put yourself in that space and you become less nervous. It's really true. It helps us. Being on the air. Before the show, I honestly think. Now, you may not think I'm successful with this or whatever, but
at least consider the motivation.
In my heart, the motivation is actually, oh yeah, God gave me a platform today. What can I say that would encourage people in the best way, in the truly best? Like, what can I do? And I don't always make it, but that is my motivation, and it does help me not to be nervous. I'm thinking, how can I serve people? Fael dropped me a note on Facebook and said, you know what? I tried this. I heard you talking about it. And I have been really nervous teaching little kids in Sunday school. I see their wandering eyes and fidgety bodies, and I feel really dumb. Last Sunday, I looked in their faces and realized my stories and activities are my service, and they need to know who Jesus is. Mm. And it helped me immensely. I just want to say thank you for sharing that because it counts. And so I just want to share that with you again to remind you, like, this is a great way to overcome anxiety. Romance. I don't understand it, but I've read articles.
Oh, good.
About dating tips. Mm-hmm. And this one actually made some sense.
Okay.
It made some sense. As somebody who's been married for a long time, good point.
But you never really dated, did you?
No.
Okay.
No, but knowing like what do you want to be married to?
Okay, got it.
Okay.
Okay.
The red flags. Mm-hmm. Here's one of them. Like, yep. If you find yourself, I found this in business something.com.
Sure.
If you find yourself justifying away what he does or says, even though these feel wrong to your gut, that's a surefire red flag.
Hmm.
Quoting here from the psychological person. The mind is the most skilled photoshopper.
Oh.
It can rationalize anything and paint any picture of anyone depending on our initial perspective. Mm. This is a psychological phenomenon we know as confirmation bias. We're inclined to discard all evidence that doesn't align with our views and only keep those that do. So you really want somebody to be awesome and they're toxic, but you want them to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So you ignore.
So your mind photoshops it.
Don't.
Amazing.
Don't. You're buying major trouble down the line. You know, it's really weird. Even weirder than the normal stuff we talk about on the show. There exists a thing in the world that is incredibly valuable. It's more valuable than gold, platinum, uranium. It's a thing that we can have. You and I can have. The people who don't have it don't want it. And the people who do have it ask for more of it. And I'm not saying it's more valuable. God says it's more valuable than anything else. It's wisdom. Mm. Isn't that weird? He says it's more valuable than rubies and pearls and all the gold in the world. But the people who don't have it actually don't want it.
It's true.
They'll be like, "Why? What's the big deal with wisdom?"
We don't talk about it at
all.
No,
we don't. I think it's strange that we don't.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the people who do have it ask for more of it.
Because they realize how precious it is.
All this to say, maybe if you're somebody's like, well, I've never really valued it. Okay. So start now. Maybe like ask God for it. Because he actually says he'll give it to you. Mm-hmm. And he says, this is the most valuable thing. So go for it.
And it saves so much pain.
Exactly. The opposite of wisdom is foolishness. And foolishness equals pain. And it's like the dawn, like the sun's going to come up. Yeah, it's as sure as that.
Mm-hmm.
Foolishness will equal pain. If not today, then it'll be tomorrow. So, like, again, it's really weird. It's incredibly valuable, but people who don't have it are like, I don't want it. Whatever job you have, there are tricks of the trade, and they're very important to know those tricks of the trade.
Mm-hmm.
You sell shoes, and you have to know, how do I become a successful shoe person?
If you talk on the radio, you need to think about...
How do I pronounce things? I know where you're going. But here's the thing, Sherry. Here's the thing.
All right, I'm listening.
Settle down.
I'm listening.
Okay. The thing is, you have to... I can overcome not speaking clearly, like sure. I just did, with shock.
Okay.
Because if you shock people, this is what DJs or whatever you want to call them, shock jocks.
Mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
You try out a shocking thing, and people are like, oh my goodness. And then they buzz about it at the water cooler.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, oh, did you hear what Brand said? Whoa, that was incredible.
Okay.
Now, the trick is a lot of people shock with just having weird opinions or whatever, or they're R-rated.
Yeah.
We keep it G-rated here. I shock with information.
Mm.
True information. This is, I think you're going to be like, you're going to buzz about this. I've hand curated some facts.
Okay.
Did you know how many times you touch your phone during the day? You want to take a guess?
Okay.
Because you're going to hear what I say, and you're going to be like, well, that's not shocking, but I want to hear you guess. Like, how many times do you how many times do you think you touch your phone during the day?
103 times.
The answer is you touch your phone 2,617 times a day. That's shocking. But it's true. They've studied it.
2,600.
Not pick it up.
Okay, just touch it.
Touch it.
Okay.
That's pretty shocking, isn't it?
Yeah, that's...
Yes, it is.
It's more than what I thought.
So please, if you would buzz about this, and, you know...
You can't be a shock jock and request
Brant
buzz.
Brant Hansen is my name, so you'll be like Brant Hansen said. And
buzz should be organic.
2,617 times. That's a lot. That's pretty shocking. Admit it, sometimes it's fun to hear someone explain something who doesn't know anything about the subject.
That's the only time I like to hear from people when they really don't know.
Let's talk about dating, said Brant Hansen, who never really dated anybody. But I've been married a long time.
Yes, you have.
And if you're like, well, how'd you not date? Well, because we were best friends and I just said I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And then
kind of moved on
engaged.
From there.
Yeah. So that's all weird. But anyway, I was reading this article, and it's about dating red flags. I'm like, this is with a rare article about this stuff. I'm like, yeah, that's actually, I think it's wise. Mm. One red flag, they said, we talked about one previously, but here's another one. When everyday life, events, conversations, everything becomes about that person. Mm. Every conversation steers back to this. You can be like, man, my elbow hurts. Yeah, well, my shoulder, you know.
Wow.
Everything. I'm having this problem at work. He goes, no, we're going to wind up talking about you again. Okay.
Man.
That's a big deal, because if you marry a narcissist or you invest yourself, you are in trouble. You can't wave a magic wand on that one.
Mm.
And I know we want to talk ourselves out of that stuff, but you might want to notice that, because whether you work with them, it's not just dating stuff, like mm-hmm. work with them for them. Relationships in a workplace. Like the best advice that I've heard is to distance yourself best you can while you can. Now, once you're married, different story.
Mm-hmm.
But while you've got the chance, if it's always, if you know people like this, every conversation comes back to them. Every single, like, why is it always about you? That's a very difficult thing to be close to. A couple weird things to talk about today on the podcast.
Yay.
Yeah. Woo!
Yay, weird. All right.
Everybody's hyped now.
They've settled down the kids. Everyone, sit around the whatever we're listening to.
Y'all ready? Y'all ready? I guess what I'm asking is, are you all ready for this?
I am, Brant.
Okay, good.
I am.
So, I had to wait for that. All right.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, so I haven't talked about this on the air, really, because I'm not sure how people receive it. Maybe it's no big deal, but I went to Europe with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sounds like la-ti-da. I didn't want it to sound that way.
Okay.
We went to Paris, and we went to Venice, and we went to Rome. Never been there before. We didn't really have much of a honeymoon. I mean, we drove like an hour to...
It was Indiana, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, we lived in Illinois.
Right.
We lived near the border, and it was at
a lake. It's like a lake. Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
And it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But... I was always thinking, hey, for our 10th anniversary,
mm-hmm.
we're going to do a big trip. And so this was our 10th anniversary trip, and it took me an extra 18 years to save up. So
but you made
it took
it
28
happen.
Years, yeah.
Yeah, you don't ever want to sound like, oh, well, excuse me, Mr.
Mr. Ferris, blah, blah, blah. It's the first time I've ever gone anywhere, quote unquote, first world and touristy outside of the U.S. ever. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of, it was kind of wild. You have a lot of observations. And one of them was, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff we could talk about, but like one, I was genuinely disappointed in Rome. I love Caesar salads. They don't have them. Is that not one of the highest like culinary ironies? Seriously.
It's an American thing. Just because we named it Caesar doesn't mean you're going to go over there to the Colosseum and have one.
I didn't definitively know. Unlike Sherry, I didn't definitively know.
You went to the Colosseum and was like, where is the Caesar Cafe? This is egregious.
I am not entertained. They have all kinds of other salads, which were really good. They didn't have a Caesar salad.
It's your favorite, that is.
You'd think they would, like, I even think, like, their adaptations of pizza there are American eyes.
Yes.
So I thought for sure, you know, just to be American-ish.
I'm so sorry.
For the tourists. Yeah, couldn't get one.
Like, you just start turning the tables over there in the little cafe. Total flip out.
What?
This is why I came here.
You can imagine, if you're somebody who listens to the show, you can imagine how geeked I would be about going to the Colosseum.
Yeah.
And we went underneath there. Underneath the arena floor where they kept the animals and stuff. Oh, my goodness.
I was so happy for you.
Oh,
and I kept thinking every day, I bet you he's over there. I bet you he's very, very happy. Yeah.
And then in Paris, Notre Dame and Saint-Chapelle. And I went to Victor Hugo's apartment with my wife. Victor Hugo wrote Les Mis and wrote Hunchback of Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan. And there's his writing desk and all that.
Nice.
Yeah, all of this, I mean, it's just so full of history. It's wonderful. Okay, so something I noticed that may be of general interest before I bore people with arcane stuff, like Americans, easy to pick out.
How so? Loud, I'm sure.
We're loud, and we're huge. And we're, we are. We just are. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, we really are.
That's fine,
this is my culture. Okay.
Yeah,
so this is me, part of it.
What was on a completely side note, but what was the story where one of the singers was at a Cure thing? It was in Africa. And the little boy.
Okay. That was Dave Barnes.
Okay. I don't mean to derail, but
no. In case you haven't heard this story, Dave Barnes, who's sang that song, God Made Me You.
Yeah. Such a great story.
He's about my size, I would say.
Medium.
Yeah, medium guy. Mm-hmm. And he's got like this kind of sandy mop hair. But anyway, he was playing soccer. He went to Africa to visit a mission. Mm-hmm. And he was playing soccer with some kids, some teenagers. And it was really hot. Mm-hmm. And he was like, hey, time out for a second. He just kind of rested for a little bit, put his hands on his side and grabbed his shorts or whatever, just kind of resting. Takes a deep breath, and he noticed that there was all the kids had clustered together, these like teenage guys, and they're looking over at him and they're talking to each other, and like a head would pop out of the huddle and look over at him and drop down, and they're talking, and then they clearly had sent one over to him, so one leaves the group, it walks over, and they're all very concerned, and they said, Mr. Dave, are you going to be okay? He's like, yeah, just a minute. He's like, is the problem because of your obesity? And he's not obese at all. But it was funny.
That's what makes
it
so
because
funny.
Of your obesity?
All the kids are together like, it's got to be that.
Do you think it's because of his obesity? I do. I mean, somebody want to ask him?
Somebody go over there and ask him.
Because of your obesity.
That's such a great story. And I was thinking, because when you say huge, when you're taking, it's relative to
it is.
What's
it is.
Going on
but
there.
This is France and Italy, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Here's another thing. And I'm not passing judgment one way or the other on this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, before you get to this, also say
observation.
I was aware I was dressed very sloppily.
What it define sloppily?
Okay. Sneakers, jeans that are a little bit loose or baggy.
Okay.
And I was wearing a hoodie over a jacket. And it just, I'm not aware of it here. People were like, oh, what's sloppy about that? That's the point. Like, but if you spend any time walking around there, either place, you're like, wow, they are putting a lot more effort into how they look.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that was going to be my next point, was it's not good or bad. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying what they're doing is good, what we're doing is bad, what we're doing is good.
It's an observation.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, they shouldn't be so vain to put effort into their, like, they look better than I do.
And that's just that.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, they just put, they, now my wife said, okay, looking at the women, for instance, in Paris, they're all very made up. And they clearly take care of their hair and their makeup and their clothes. And my wife said, well, honestly, this is a legitimate sociological point, I think. They don't have kids.
Yep. It's a great point.
And if you don't have kids, you don't, like, of course, some do, but it's largely true that there's their population rate is dropping faster than ours, and marriage rates are dropping faster. Ours is dropping.
Yeah.
But she's just like, just as a practical matter, you can take care of yourself in that way more when you have time for it and effort and energy. That's true. That's true. So again, I'm not passing judgment one way or the other. I was struck by it because I hadn't noticed it before. No. I've never been to Europe.
You're passing judgment. What you're saying on Americans.
Oh, okay.
Grant Hanson.
Because it could be perceived the other way, like how, you know, they're so stuck up. How could they possibly put so much effort?
I don't see. I think you're calling me fat and sloppy, and I want an apology right now. Right here on the podcast.
You know what?
What?
You would fit in.
What? How so?
I'm afraid I'm going to step on some kind of landmine.
Okay, go ahead. Blow up.
You put a lot of effort into your appearance.
I do.
You care about how you look. Your mom does.
Oh,
your mom.
My mom is just.
Your mom would fit in.
Yeah, she would.
Because,
she'd be the queen.
Again, like, it's her. She looks glamorous.
But it goes back to what your wife said, which I think is a very valid point. I don't have kids. So when I don't know if you've ever noticed, Brant Hanson, but when my nieces come to visit me, and they stay for a week or a week and a half.
All that goes out
my appearance is, is markedly different because I have humans to take care of now.
Yes.
And that's more my focus. And yeah, so I thought your wife had a good point.
Yeah.
I was joking with the judgment and everything, by the way.
Yeah, and I know you were. But I know this is so freighted with emotion, especially for women who are listening, that I almost don't want to bring it up. But I just... I don't have a point other than that was really
the observation.
Interesting. And again, it was me. I went and got my hair cut.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what's really funny. Like, I couldn't find an open place to get my hair cut because my hair was looking really sloppy. I wasn't aware of it. And so I'm like, wow, I am really sloppy. Like, I need a trim.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't find an open place. And we were at the airport in Munich.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one barber shop, and it was open, and it was called Brant's Barber Shop. B-R-A-N-T-S. And had immediate opening.
Yeah, and you're sitting in the chair. And the funny thing is, you're showing me pictures from your vacation, right? And you're going through it, and then this, and then here's the cathedral, whatever. And you skip right past it, and I was like, hold it. Can you go back to that? And it's just you in a lonely chair. And it says Brant's Barbershop.
It's funny. Like, this one is made for this moment.
I needed this.
Other highlights, a lot of history. I mean, I could go on and on, but even seeing, like, next to the Colosseum, there's the jail where they think they held Paul. Like, it's right by the Forum site, Circus Maximus, Nero's Pal, like, all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely makes you think. I guess it can make you think, as a believer, like, wow, you know, that's really interesting what these people went through. But my wife and I both had the same thought, which is, am I ready for something like that?
Mm.
And I'm not saying it's imminent tomorrow or any particular political agenda is going to make it happen or anything. It's just, but like, as a believer, how would I handle that? Because a lot of people couldn't.
Right. And that was the cultural framework for the Bible, right? The New Testament. Because I think we shove it into our cultural experience.
Right.
But when he's saying count it all joy, he's saying it from that jail cell.
Right. And to those people who knew that they could wind up there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And that their families and friends were.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all of that stuff makes a whole lot of sense. I always felt like if we went through something like that, we would reread everything and go, oh, like a light would come on for 80% of the New Testament to go, that's, wow, this is way more radical than I thought because I'm supposed to forgive those people. He's actually telling us to forgive those people. These, whew. So somebody made the observation that Christianity only makes sense in that context when you're out of power.
I agree.
Because there's really not much, there's not much discussion or guide for the Christian who's in charge of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Like we want to be the boss and we want to dictate. Like that's everybody does.
Yeah.
Like we, I want the world to be exactly like how I want. If I'm
that's,
in power,
that's a fallen human thing. That's not
totally.
A, yeah.
Totally, but Christians don't have a good record of dictating, and
point.
But I think and, part of that is like we're made to be the, we're made to be on this other end of things.
So that when the culture starts to gorge on itself and fall to pieces, they look at this other thing.
Right.
And
we're thriving.
Yeah. Yes.
We're flourishing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know how to do that.
Yeah.
But we I don't think we know how to do the other very well anyway. Mm. I don't know. Okay, I think I covered everything.
You had a wonderful time, though. You were
were
your level of beaming.
I was excited.
Yes.
I saw a wiener dog wearing a sweater window shopping in Venice.
With no owner.
With no owner. Just
and
by
a
himself.
Sweater on, yeah.
He was walking down the sidewalk, and they had really low windows. They have to because he's a wiener dog. And he was wearing a sweater, and he just went window to window like everybody else was going window to window to look at stuff. And he was just...
Anything catch his fancy?
Pat, go look over here. Couldn't tell. But that was also a highlight.
Good.
That and the barbershop in Notre Dame.
All right. Paris,
and the Colosseum,
Rome.
And wiener dog. And I found this chess set that was cats on one side and dogs on the other.
Interesting.
So, okay, this has been our podcast. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, guys.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, Blast Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.